We are at day 27. Some old homework from days before the test. All right. So gradients. Tell you a little bit about gradients today. There's some pretty cool stuff that gets done with gradients nowadays. And if necessary, I'll spend 2 days on this. All right. Now, let me try and outline this. The gradient equals, let's say it has the direction of steepest ascent or increase. So if you have a function of one variable and you're at a certain point on the graph and you want to increase the function, either you're going to go left or you're going to go right, right? Depending on whether the derivative is negative or positive. If you have a function of two variables, or three variables or more, there's infinitely many ways you could move around in your space of inputs. And the question here is, okay, which way do I go to make the function's outputs increase the most? And also, the gradient has the property that it can give you the tangent plane or tangent line for an implicitly defined curve or surface. It has some geometric applications. These are the two main ideas that within each of those two points I can expand and say a lot more. But let's start with the first point here. The gradient has the direction of steepest increase. So right a little bit over here. Remember a few things from the past. So a partial derivative, right? Let's remember the geometric interpretation of that. It's the slope along one of those vertical traces. Right? You either slice things, say, along the xz plane or along the yz plane if you have a function of two variables. You're always computing a partial derivative at a point if you want to get an actual number. And differentiability was stronger than just having a tangent line along some cross section of your surface. This is where you have a tangent plane. And that's for functions of
two input variables and one output variable. If you have three or four input variables, then it's a tangent hyperplane. I won't get into that at the moment. And as usual, if you want an actual number, right, say you want an actual tangent plane in this case, with actual slopes and intercepts, and then you have to look at this at a point, just as here.
So there's a picture that goes with this, right? We imagine some kind of curved surface, right? And if it's differentiable, then we've got more than just lines in various cross sections tangent to the curve. Right? We've got a whole tangent plane. So we could imagine going off in the x direction, right? Having an x tangent line. Right? We could also have a y tangent line. Now, the other thing you can consider are going off in some other direction on the tangent plane. You could have tangent lines in a whole bunch of different directions on the tangent plane. If you're differentiable and actually have a tangent plane, then we can actually get formulas for all of these, all of those different slopes. Okay. And the formula can be really simple to bring in the gradient. Let's write down our scenario. So we have a function of two variables. Right. And we want to talk about the slope as we change our x and y inputs. Okay. And moving in a certain direction. Okay. So we're going to have a two-dimensional vector. And since we just want to think about directions here, we're just going to work with unit vectors. Why don't I call it h and k? Should we call it c and d? We can define what's called the directional derivative, the rate of change along this direction. So as a concept, it's just rate of change like this. Derivative in the direction of v, we're going to compute it at this point AB. So we take this limit as t goes to 0 of, in vector notation, you could write it as let's see, position r plus v t minus f at position r. Let's see here. Why don't I just put in the AB component? Yeah. In vector notation, it would look like this. And so what you're doing here is you're
your, maybe I'll put your input. You have two-dimensional input, A and B, and you go off in some direction, V, and you go off a little distance, times T here, right? So you're at A plus CT, B plus DT. I'm going to regret that to D, aren't I? I'll make it P and Q. Right. So you just go off in direction V and you go off distance T. If T is negative, go the opposite way. Now your output is, of course, one-dimensional. It's just a number, right? You're looking at, you have the base value, right, when you plug in exactly AB, and then you have the value at this slightly different point. Or you've gone a little bit off in direction B. So these two points here, and I feed them into the function I compare. So I look at the change in output. That's this subtraction here. And then we divide by the change in input in the V direction. So if you want to get fancy, you can call it the V component. Right? But don't worry about that. The point is, we're just going some distance t that way. Or if t is negative, we're going distance negative t that way. Right? And we're just, and change in output, think of that as a rise, divided by a change in input, it's a run. This is a slope. Okay? This is, if you think of partial derivatives as x slopes and y slopes, right? This is a v slope, if you will. Now, fortunately, you generally don't have to compute this limit. Okay? If you're differentiable, if you have a tangent plane, knowing the x and y partial derivatives gives you two lines through a point. And if you have two lines, then back think back to chapter 2, right, we can say the cross product and get an arrow perpendicular to the plane, and we have the point on the plane where it's tangent to the curve, so you get the whole plane. So if you have the whole plane, you can get an arrow from that point parallel to the plane, right? So you can get it, the arrow any direction here. And so then you can figure out the slope. So I won't, you know, give you a long proof. I'll take too long, but. If f is differentiable, if it actually has a tangent plane, then this derivative v, the v derivative, the change in output as we change input in the v direction, divided by that change in inputs, basically think of it as size or distance input, unless you're going the opposite direction. Then you put minus sign in front. This is going to be just the x partial derivative, AB, comma the y partial derivative at AB, put together to make an arrow, and then we take the dot product with V. Very easy. And this idea of putting the partial derivatives together as a list to make an arrow, well, that has a name. That's the gradient. And it has notation. You have this upside down triangle called a nabla. And I'm going to put a little arrow symbol on to emphasize that's a vector. So nabla f at a comma b. All right. So we compute the partial derivatives at a point, and if we take the dot product of any unit vector, we get a slope as we're going off in a different direction. And that will bring me eventually to my first point here, that there's one direction that has the steepest slope, and that is the direction of the gradient itself. All right. So let's see an example of this. Does anybody want to ask me a question before I go into the example? Okay. Hopefully the example will make things clear. Okay, so let's imagine we have some kind of surface. For example, how about an elliptic paraboloid? Okay. I rigged this one so it's going to be downward opening. So it's going to look like some kind of a hill. It's going to be some point, I'm not sure exactly where it is, at the top of the hill. And then it has elliptical cross sections. It's not a dome, but you could think of it as a stretched out dome or something, kind of. It's the peak at the top is in some sense narrower than the kind of peak you have at the top of a dome. Anyways. Okay. And then let's pick some points. X and Y points. Some kind of base on this thing. So how about 3 and 4. Okay. Now. Let's see. If you plug in exactly those numbers, what do we get? Let's see. 2, minus 9, minus 12, minus 16, plus 3, negative 19, negative 30. I think negative 32. You can tell me if I got it wrong. Okay, so we're down somewhere at negative 32. Let's see. I'm pretty sure you can get higher than that if you pick a different x and y value. I don't think negative 32 is at the top of this hill. So we're going to have an arrow that's going to point towards the fastest way to get to the top of the hill. If you're on the side of a hill and you want to have an easier, gentler hike, you do a bunch of switchbacks. You go back and forth. But if you want to get to the top right away, you're going to go along the steepest path, going straight up to the top. We're going to get an arrow that points to that direction. Right? So we're somewhere out here. At 3 is x, 4 is y, and z is negative 32. Right? And from an overhead view, we're going to have something like this, where there's 3, 4, and somewhere down here, it's not quite at the origin, but it's closer to the origin than 3, 4. You're going to have the top of the hill somewhere over here. Right? And so we're going to have an arrow that points in the, the steepest direction. Right? It's going to be taken straight to the top. Now let's see if this really will be the direction of steepest ascent. Okay. So we're going to need to look at some things here. So we're going to have partial x, the x partial derivative of our function. Okay. So if we take y to be a constant, and then we take the derivative with respect to x, the 2 here has a derivative.
Zero.
And the negative x squared has derivative negative 2x. And the negative xy has derivative
negative y.
Negative y. Very good. And the negative y squared has derivative
zero
because we're holding y as a constant when we take the x partial derivative. And then the x has derivative 1. Yeah. X rate of change of x with respect to x is 1. Okay? And then we do things the other way around. Now we hold x constant, and we take the derivative with respect to y. So 2 is a constant, again derivative 0. Now the x squared is a constant, derivative 0. The negative xy, what's its derivative going to be now? Negative x, yeah. All right. And then what's going to be the derivative of negative y squared? Yeah, negative 2y now. And then what's the derivative of the x?
Zero.
Yeah, we're holding x constant this time. All right. Okay. So we can plug in a and b, and those will get us the components of the gradient. So plug in 3 and 4. Negative 6 from plugging in that term, and then a negative 4 there, and then a 1, so I think that works out to be negative 9. Okay, plug in 3 and 4 for x and y here. A negative 3, a negative 8, a negative 11. So, whoops, getting ahead of myself. Okay. Rating, there we go. Negative 9, negative 11. Then we put them together as a list of numbers, and we have our vector, negative 9, comma, negative 11. Okay. So I claim this is the direction of steepest ascent. And I can prove it, with a long proof, but I'll just give some evidence instead of a full proof. I'll give some examples, right? Let's compute the slope in several directions. Okay. So we're going to have some unit vectors. Okay. Right, so the one unit vector I'm particularly interested in is the unit vector along the gradient direction. So for that, I need to make its magnitude 1. Okay, so that would be this vector, but I'm going to divide by its magnitude, so I'm going to have an 81 and 121 from squaring, and I add them, and I get, I guess, 202. Okay. Well, some other unit vectors I could have. Well, there's 4 obvious things to try. How about the positive and negative x and y directions? And could try a few others. Maybe go off this way in some
45-degree angles.
You could try lots of other directions. So, for example, we could...
If you want plus or minus x direction, you do the vector that has plus or minus 1 in the x component and 0 in the y component. Those would be left or right. You could also do up or down by having nothing in the x direction and plus or minus 1 in the y direction. We could have some diagonals like that, where you have x and y both have the same value. So either 1, 1 or negative 1, negative 1. And we have to divide by the square root of 2, 1 squared plus 1 squared, to make it a unit vector.
It's supposed to be a 2.
And you could have the other direction. Plus or minus 1, negative 1. So x and y have the opposite signs, so either 1 and negative 1, or it could be negative 1 and 1. And again, divide by a square root of 2 to make them all unit vectors. So the gradient is kind of like this one, just a little bit more in the negative y direction. So it's pretty close to that one, but not quite the same. Okay. Now this is a polynomial function, so it's definitely differentiable. Okay, so we're going to have the gradient dot the vector into these unit vectors. Okay. So we have the gradient itself right here. Negative 9, negative 11. Okay. And so we just have to take dot products with each of these guys. Okay. The first one is pretty easy. Negative 9 times negative 9 is 81. Negative 11 times negative 11 is 121. That adds up to the 202. Divide by the square root of 202, and we get still a square root of 202 left over. Right. So this, it happens to be the magnitude of the gradient. And that is actually the steepest slope. If you're on a hillside and you pick the steepest way to go up, the slope, vertical change divided by change in horizontal distance in that direction, your slope will be the magnitude of the gradient. That's the steepest. And if you wanted, you could also go opposite the gradient, right? So you could, maybe you don't want to go up the hill, maybe you want to go down the hill, right? So the steepest descent is just the opposite direction. So I could put plus or minus in front of that. So I could also go in the opposite way and go down the hill in the steepest possible way. And that would be a slope of negative square root 202. Right. And then we can look at some other ones here. So if we're going left or right, x, positive x or negative x direction along this hillside, our slope is going to be, well, we have to take a dot product, right? So we're going to have 1 times, plus or minus 1 times a negative 9. So 9. So we'll get negative 9 divided by the square root of 2. And can we take the... No, just negative 9. Yeah. Just this dot that. 1 times 9, 0 times 11. This one we'd get 11, plus or minus. Okay, this one, let's see, we'd have 1 and 9 times 9. That's the negative 9. 1 times the negative 11 over there, negative 11, so add them up, negative 20. But we have to divide by a square root of 2. If we go in these diagonal directions along the hillside, what are our slopes? Let's see, we'll have 1 times negative 9
And then negative 1 times negative 11, so negative 9 plus 11, so that's 2. And then it gets divided by a square root of 2. Okay. Different slopes. So let's see, this one's about plus or minus 1.4, right? And let's see, well, these are plus or minus 9, plus or minus 11. So it's clear how big they are. About that one. I guess that's, I think it's 10, it's equal to 10 times the square root of 2, right? If you do a little simplification. So it's about negative or positive 14, right? Depending on whether you make the arrow be this way or that way. Okay, so this one of the examples I picked here, this one is the gentlest. This one is you kind of going along, you know, the it's kind of around the hilltop, right? You're not going up or down a huge amount compared to these much steeper paths of 9, 11, 14. And I claim this one's the steepest though. 14 gets pretty close to the steepest. Alright? This, if you go this way, you have a slope of 14, and that's pretty close to the steepest. But 14 squared is only 196. Right? 202 is a little bit more than 196, so it's going to be a little bit more slow. Right? So anybody figure out the square root of 202 on their calculator? It's a little bit over 14, right? Yeah. Okay. So that's the story. Okay. So that's the steepest path. All right. And you could ask some other questions about this. Like, what if you wanted to have a slope 0? What if you wanted to go in the direction where your height stays the same on this hillside? Well, we would just need this dot product to come out 0, right? So in terms of the two-dimensional vector of how your x and y position is changing, I would need to cook up an arrow. It's supposed to be a unit vector, right? So I'm just getting direction, not confusing things with some magnitude. I need something perpendicular to this. And there's a standard kind of trick here, which is that you have, let's see, I need letters I haven't used before. S and T, right? That's perpendicular to, say, flip these around, and then put a negative on one of them, right? In two dimensions, it's easy to cook up a perpendicular vector. Right, this little trick. See, s times t in the dot product, and then t times negative s in the dot product. So if you ever have a vector in two dimensions, and you want to get a perpendicular vector, just do that. So if I play that little game with my negative 9, negative 11, I will get, bring the negative 11 over, turn the negative 9 to negative negative 9, and I'll keep that square root of 202 denominator so that it's still a unit vector, right? So these will be arrows perpendicular to the gradient, okay? And they will give me a slope in the v direction here of 0, right? It doesn't matter whether it's plus or minus, right? If I multiply the whole thing by negative 1, it multiplies a dot product of 0 by negative 1. Still 0. Yeah.
Okay. Questions or comments about this? Yeah?
I'm confused why it equals square root of 202 if you're doing the dot product.
I did some algebra, right? Okay, so I didn't show every step of the simplification, right? Okay, negative 9 times negative 9, negative 11 times negative 11, that adds up to 202, right? Okay, so 202 divided by the square root of 202. Do you see it now? Yeah.
And you're using the 0 and 1 because it's a unit vector?
Yeah, these are unit vectors, yeah. 1 squared plus 0 squared is 1, so I don't have to divide by any square root. That's the nice thing about the coordinate axes. You get unit vectors for free, essentially. If you go off in a slant direction, then you have to do a little bit of extra work to make them magnitude 1. Good questions. Other questions? We could do with this gradient, which is we could get a tangent line for a cross section. So in this picture here, we have this, this point. This kind of overhead view. You're somewhere on the hillside, and if I did my arithmetic right, the z level is at negative 32. So I could imagine a whole ellipse here. Defined by the equation z equals negative 32. Okay. So let's imagine that I claim it's an ellipse. You can take that on faith, or you can read up on ellipses if you're really fascinated in them. Basically, you can do a rotation of the coordinate axes to make the xy term go away, and you can do a translation of the x-axis to make the x term go away, and it just becomes an x squared and a y squared. And so then it really becomes a standard ellipse form. Anyways, we have this here, and we're somewhere right at our point, about there. So this ellipse wraps around the hill at level z equals 32, negative 32, and we're at that point on the ellipse, roughly speaking. Okay. And then, let's see if I've drawn this right. And so here's our gradient, f, pointing up to the top of the ellipse. Okay. Now, what does that gradient buy me besides the direction of steepest ascent? It buys me some more geometrical information. As I said, it buys me a tangent line. Let me put green, right? Some other point now, not on the ellipse, but off on the tangent line. So if it's far away from the ellipse, it'll be very noticeably not on the ellipse. If it's close to the point 3-4, right, then it's pretty close to the ellipse. But the further away you get from 3-4, the worse the tangent line is as an approximation of the ellipse. All right. Now, we can make a little arrow, right, from 3, 4 to some other mystery point on the tangent line. So if we go from 3 to x, our change in x coordinates is x minus 3. If we go from 4 to y, our change in the vertical coordinate y is y minus 4. So we have this arrow. Okay. Now, we have that arrow, and if you're tangent to the ellipse, you're going along, at least when you're close to 3, 4, you're almost exactly going along the ellipse itself. And if you're going along the ellipse itself, your z coordinate is always the same. That's how we defined the ellipse in the first place. So your slope, your z, v slope, right, that kind of thing, it's zero, right? You're not changing elevation as you go along the ellipse. So right here at this point, our slope is zero. We're not going up or down the hill if we go this way along this line. And slope of zero corresponded to these arrows perpendicular to the gradient. So the point is that the gradient here is perpendicular to our arrow. So the gradient points in the steepest way. The tangent line points in the flat way, where you're not going up or down the hillside. So we have this right angle there. Okay. So now, can you tell me an equation for my tangent line now? Okay. Give me an equation in x and y so that if you have a solution, then it's a point on my tangent line. And conversely, if you're a point on the tangent line, then your x and y coordinates are a solution to the equation. I'll take some pictures. You think about that for a minute or two. I'm sure at least some of you will have it figured out. So, who has the equation for the tangent line?
Y minus 4 negative x plus 3.
Y minus 4.
Okay. Where do I put the equal sign?
Negative 9 times x minus 3. Negative 9 times x minus 3.
Minus 11. Times y minus 4. Equals 0.
Ray is absolutely correct. Those two arrows, the gradient and that displacement arrow along the line, are perpendicular arrows. So their dot product is 0, right? That's it. That's the key. Yeah. Dot product is 0. So you just have to write out the dot product and then say it's equal to 0.
So the dot product is 0.
So that would give you an equation for the whole line. And
let's see. Only 5 minutes left.
As I said, I'm going to need to spend another day on this. The really interesting thing about this idea of, you know, you have this arrow that tells you the direction's steepest ascent, is that you can use that to find where the top of the hill is. So I'll talk about that tomorrow. The idea is, okay, make a little step in the steepest direction, okay, and then see where you are. Then you're at a new point, recompute the gradient. Make another step in that direction. Recompute the gradient at your new location. Make another little step in whatever direction is now the steepest, and keep going.
It's called gradient ascent. Or if you want to minimize your function, go to the bottom of a bowl, you follow the negative gradient, and that's gradient descent. And you follow the steepest direction in a bunch of little steps. Very, very nice stuff. A very powerful tool.
We've read about people using machine learning to do all sorts of amazing stuff. Key tool is that idea of gradients to optimize things.
So I'd like to say some stuff about that tomorrow. And we can also talk about gradients where there's three inputs. And instead of giving us a tangent line, we get a tangent plane. But in terms of what I've done now, I can basically ask you to do something like what I did here.
Okay. Here on this function, which looks kind of like a bell that then flares out in infinite width. Well, you can plot it if you want. And okay, so find the gradient and find the directional derivatives at, I guess, five different unit vectors v, right, of your choice. And find the equation
of the tangent line. Level curve questions. All right, very similar to what I did on the board, so
simple enough.